This is a summary of a Friday night sicha, which Rav Lichtenstein delivered around 1994, I think, Parsha Shlach. And I think it highlights three issues about Rav Lichtenstein and his thought. I think the most powerful one, and again, this is how it hits me, looking back at some of these sichot, is there's almost a reflexive reading of Parsha Shlach, especially for those who live in Israel. And the reading is very ideological and historical because, to a degree, that's the dominant theme of the Parsha, is the squandered historical opportunity. They were at the cusp of entering Eretz Yisrael, and their cowardice forfeited that great opportunity and set history onto some long detour. So it's pretty clear that a lot of our thoughts around Parsha Shlach surround, especially in the modern era, our return to Israel and our hope that we don't miss another opportunity. But Rav Lichtenstein was such a moral person that he was able to read moral issues into Parsha Shlach, and not just moral issues of loyalty to history and to avos, but how we define strength and how we define inner courage. And I just feel like every experience that he viewed, and certainly that he projected to us, had a very distinct moral intonation to it. And it almost surprised me when I went back and thought about this sicha, how much of an almost inversion or a conversion there was. I think the second issue which struck me about this was that Rav Lichtenstein spoke a lot with us and to us about strength, and he would always use physical strength and contrast it with spiritual strength. But I think that we were looking at a very strong person, strongly willed person, moral will, moral values, and that word inner strength, and whether it expressed itself in imposing our will over our bodies, sleeping and eating, or just taking clear and unconditional moral positions. It's just something that echoes very deeply within me, and I've heard a lot from Rav Lichtenstein. And of course, the final issue, just as way of introduction, is, as I've said so often, in a yeshiva that's very well known for its very modern approaches to Tanakh, Rav Lichtenstein was much more of a traditionalist, and his trail through a section in Parsha Shlach was more or less paved by Rishonim, classic Rishonim. So he began the Sicha by quoting the Pasuk, which is at the heart of Moshe's Tefillah, supplicating on behalf of the Jewish people, V'yata yigdal na koach Hashem kasher dibar talemor, your strength should be augmented. And then Moshe lists the 13 midos. Now the famous question is that he doesn't really list the 13 midos. He lists only six of them. Hashem, he skips the second word Hashem. He skips the word Keil, he skips the word Rachum v'chanun. He says Erech Apayim of Chesed, he skips the word Emes. Noser Chesed la'alafim is absent. So to begin his assessment, Rav Lichtenstein just went through some classic Rishonim and their approaches. So for example, the Das Akenim of Baalei HaTosfos, Tosfos explains that Hashem and Hashem, these two words, or two iterations of Yudke Vavke, one refers to Midas Hadin and one refers to Midas HaRachamim, and of course at this point, Moshe doesn't want to invoke Midas Hadin. Now, this is a challenging approach because the Gemara does ascribe in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin each iteration of Yudke Vavke to Midas HaRachamim. They play different roles of Rachamim. A, B, the truth is, now that I'm thinking about it and reading it, I don't remember his second question. But the first question is a more powerful question, that both terms of Hashem refer to Midas HaRachamim and should have been mentioned. He then shifted to the Ramban. The Ramban describes why certain midos are omitted. So, for example, the word emes is omitted because that echoes with a sense of justice. And from that perspective, the Jews deserve to be punished. And Moshe does mention the word emes. Rachum v'chanun at least implies to the Ramban a sense of Hashem's mechila and his willingness to forgo certain offenses. And for some reason, this chait was inexcusable and couldn't be pardoned by Hashem. And Rav Lichtenstein elaborated what made the chait ha-meraglim unpardonable. This was, I think, I wouldn't call it a sidebar, because Rav Lichtenstein's sidebars were such grand and expansive descriptions, but Rav Aaron talked about that the chet of the egel could have been excused because the nation was still immature and there were fewer expectations of them. But the chet of the meraglim wasn't just the second failure or the second crisis, but it also occurs after they've been exposed to more, a year plus into their journey through the desert. And with that exposure comes responsibility, expectation, obligation, maturity. And I think the contrast between understanding that people of limited exposure and limited experience have less expected of them, and we're meant to be towards them, just like Hashem was towards the Jewish people, more forbearing and more embracing. But people that have had more and responsibilities, and we have so much in our lives, and it was almost as if there was an internal sense that with all the resources Hashem had given us, right, everyone took account of their resources, there was a set of expectations that evolved in the wake of those resources. And for Rav Lichtenstein, the inability to meet those expectations during the stage of the Meraglim was unforgivable. And that's why the Ramban says that there's no ability to be mochel. I don't remember if Rav Aaron spoke about this, but there's a famous Ramban as to why the Avos aren't mentioned, because turning your back on Eretz Yisrael is effectively turning your back on the land of the Avos and the experience of the Avos. So these are the reasons the Ramban iterates for the omission of MS or the omission of Rachum V'Chanun or Kel Rachum V'Chanun. In contrast to the Ramban and to the Tosfos, Rav Lichtenstein took a very different approach. The whole premise of the Ramban and of Tosfos is that Moshe should have compiled the entire list of 13, but he selectively omits those which are unsuitable or inappropriate in this setting. Rav Lichtenstein's premise was the opposite, that Moshe Rabbeinu chooses those that are suited for a particular goal in the context of the Meraglim, and not just the goal to daven to Hashem, but to a degree to educate the Jewish people. So Moshe isn't just davening and petitioning, he's also educating the Jewish people by highlighting a particular trait of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a very different perspective. The Ramban and Tosfos assume that Moshe should begin with 13 and then selectively omit those that just are irrelevant to the situation. Whereas Rav Lichtenstein suggested that Moshe chose specific traits to highlight one particular aspect that he asks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that he expects the Jews to learn from. So it's not just the tefillah. What was this aspect? So Rav Aaron began with that phrase that introduced the entire section. When Moshe says, V'ata, Yigdal na koach Hashem kasher dibar telemar, which isn't one of the 13 midos, it's the preface. The Seferno says he's asking Hashem, Yigdal na koach Hashem, that you should suppress your anger, your midas hadin. Yigdal na koach Hashem. The Rashbam has a similar sentiment. He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Tov erech apayim migibor, someone with a long temper who isn't easily angered is better than a strong person. Umoshel birucho milochet ear, and someone that controls his spirit is more impressive than someone who captures a city. So according to the Rashbam and according to the Sfarno, Moshe is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to suppress his anger, to be kovesh kas, and that is why he prefaces the tefillah with the term yigdal na koach Hashem. Koach means Hashem's ability to suppress his anger. According to the Rashbam, erech apayim conveys that. It's pretty clear that Nose Avon Vafesha Vichatoa conveys that, that Hashem bears certain sins without allowing them to translate into Onesh. And of course, the famous Medrash or Mishnah in Avos reminds us that the ability to suppress your anger isn't just more important than strength, as that Pasuk in Mishlei Tezayin implies. Tov erech apayim migibor, that long tempers are better than strength. But it is in and of itself strength. Ezeo gibor hakovesh es Yisrael. So it's not that a kovesh es Yisrael is better than a gibor, as the Pasuk in Mishlei says, but it is ultimate gevura, which is implicit in this Varno statement, that the yigdal na koach Hashem, the koach of Hashem, is best expressed by his ability to overlook this and to suppress his anger. So essentially Moshe is choosing the Yud Gimel Midos, or the Midos of Hashem, that reflect suppression of anger. Erech HaPayim, Nose avon vafesha. And he prefaces it by saying, this ability to be kovesh kas, to suppress your anger, is an act of koach, or an act of yigdol na koach Hashem. Now, how does this educate the Jewish people morally? If you look beneath the hood in Parsha Shlach, remember, above the hood, it seems like lack of faith, lack of historical mandate, lack of belief and conviction in Hashem. But under the hood, there's an obsession with physical might and force. That's what really frightens them. They are efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz, they're very mighty. V'harim b'tzirotz g'delos me'od, and the cities are fortified. V'chol am asherinu b'suchan shem midos, and the people there are giants with great strength. Mi'bilti yecholos Hashem la'vias amazel ha'aretz ha'shem nishba'al lahem v'yishchatem b'midbar. We don't have the military might. There's a preoccupation with physical strength. And Moshe essentially is trying to counterbalance this by reminding them that it's just not about physical strength, but about moral strength and spiritual strength and personal strength. And therefore, he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intercede specifically on this frequency, to suppress his anger and to demonstrate Yigdal Nakoach Hashem so that human beings can recognize that in the suppression of anger, there's an act of moral strength. And then, so to speak, I'm using my own terms and extrapolate from this, that in other areas, moral strength and moral spirit and commitment and devotion can be effective and even overcome and overwhelm physical strength. It's a very, very subtle sicha, but essentially, Moshe Rabbeinu is not starting with 13 and omitting those that are inappropriate. He's building a model and he's combining certain traits that speak about moral strength and moral fortitude so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can recalibrate for the Jewish people a vision of what strength really is. Again, it's not a stunningly creative idea. Most of these ideas about what we feel strength is or isn't and what midos refer to, the suppression of anger. But just the framing of this entire conversation, what Moshe's interest is, and that there's a moral issue being wrestled over, and that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to not just reinforce their faith, but reinforce their moral sturdiness and stoutness, and asks Hashem to behave in a manner that will not just forgive them and pardon them, but demonstrate what real strength is composed of. I'll just take a moment to cross-reference. Rav Lichtenstein would speak very often about the role of strength and moral strength in Hanukkah, where he felt part of the confrontation between the Maccabim and the Greeks was about what type of strength we identify or what type of strength we try to build within ourselves.